Lord Jesus, we stand before you, we kneel before you. You're a mighty God, and you choose to meet with us. No appointment necessary, no waiting in the waiting room. And you take us as we are. How amazing is that? Lord Jesus, we thank you today for what you've done for us already and what you're going to do. You just love us, that's all it is, and you just want us to love you back. How simple is that? So Jesus, may we love you with all our heart, not save any parts of it for ourselves, not be selfish with one little area and keep that from you. May we be open-hearted today and hand your talents and monies and worship and thoughts and actions and words, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. So Jesus, we're going to meet with you. Thanks for meeting with us. We are standing on holy ground for the next while. May we set everything at the door, leave everything apart, and think of nothing but you and what you have for us. Take our undivided attention, and by the end, help us have an undivided heart, and instead a whole heart, committed solely to living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a man of prayer, and I pray that God will take your heart and do something with you today, and do something with me. So if you're ready for today, I think God's ready for us. Not a fan, completely committed follower. I'll start off with a picture. They invented something. I don't know how much it took to invent this thing. They invented something a couple years ago that was something that you could lounge around and watch TV in, and it looked about like a blanket with arms. What was that called?
Snuggie.
Here's a Snuggie. And that Snuggie is, I don't know how they invented that. It didn't take exactly a brain surgeon. But anyway, put arms on a blanket. That's pretty comfortable. I want to ask you if you got a Snuggie. They now make them in camouflage so you won't look quite as dainty as you watch TV in your Snuggie. I got a different kind of picture for you. Wonder how Snuggie this was. We got a choice. We got this, the way some Christians want to live, and we got that. So how comfortable is the cross? I'm not picking on you. Well, Kyle Idleman in his video talks about that we have a snuggy relationship with God. As long as it's comfortable, we enjoy it. And if he asks us to change our TV, we don't have a remote in our hand, so to speak. If he asks us to go to the kitchen, if we ask, did your wife ever ask you to bring in groceries? You'd have thought she'd ask you to cross a bridge on broke glass. Oh, I reckon. She would never do that. And I know Liz is so beautiful and wonderful. You just wait on her hand and foot. I'm sure about that. For some of the rest of us, we get asked to do one thing, and you think, oh, I reckon. Snuggy relationship with God, where it's nice and comfortable, or a bit tougher. Remember, there's three lines we get to cross. We can cross that first line, and this is where Craig Rochelle was the man that wrote the book called Christian Atheist. And he says there's really three lines, and he said he was on his elliptical one day, and these three lines hit him. And the first line was, you cross the line of faith, you believe in God. And I'm not even sure that's getting saved, because demons in hell believe, right? You know, so you don't just believe, you got to believe and receive. But for the sake of illustration, he says, you cross that first line where you believe in God. Then you cross the next line where you can maybe give a little something, but as long as you can stay what? Like the Snuggie. As long as you can stay comfortable. But when you step over that third line to where you're going to have to really start maybe even sacrificing, Jesus crossed, Jesus is always God, don't get me wrong, but again, for sake of illustration, John chapter 2, when he changed the water to wine, he crossed over. He was always this area where maybe it was comfortable for him, and not that that's always the case, but when he stepped out and changed that water to wine, he changed at least to the second, if not the cross was the third. But when he stepped out, he started getting closer to the cross. And from the moment he changed water to wine, people never looked at him as Joseph's son. They looked at him as what? God's son. He was no longer the woodworker. He was what? The miracle worker. And could he ever go back to the old way of life? No, never would he go back to the carpenter shop. Never would he go back to just being with Mary and everybody hanging at the house. No, from now on it was like, people were coming after you. Some come after you to seek the forgiveness and salvation. Some are coming after you to what? Kill you. Well, maybe I'll just slip back and not be Jesus, the Son of God. It's, you know, turning back. Like the song, I decided to follow Jesus and turn him back. Let's take a look at the verse we've been studying these past few weeks. Good news. He said, that's not very good news. That's tough. Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man wishes to follow me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You notice there are two parts to this verse. The easy part and the tougher part. Here's the easier part given to you first. Notice the first part. He said to them, if any man wishes to follow me. That's not too bad. He said to them all, if any man wishes to follow me. Why is that good news for everybody? Because you're included in that verse. Where is your name in that verse? Yeah. And he said to them, so check this out. A little reminder here. I love this part of the verse. Note that all means anyone and everyone. He didn't just turn around to the 12 disciples. He didn't just turn around to 72 people that were a little bit bigger disciples. You know, he had lots of disciples by then, not just the call dozen there. But this is us. He said to them all, if any man wishes to follow me, that's good news because he still says it today for you. You might not see Jesus up here audibly speaking to you, but he's still, the Bible is still true. Whatever he said in that, I can bank on. Absolutely. So Jesus says, note that all means anyone and everyone. Let's pick this word. If any man, as long as you're rich. No, there's no. We don't have to claim this or that. It's a disqualifier. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be, like Hollywood would say, good luck. I mean, you don't have to be prominent. You don't have to be powerful. Know that any means anyone and everyone. So, and Jesus said to Edgar, if you will follow me, you mean you're inviting me to follow you? Same as Matthew. Follow me. And he says to you today, follow me. But Lord, you don't know who I am. If you fit all, and if you fit any, which all of us do, all of us, and he said to all of you, if you'll follow me, if any of you want to follow me, the invitation's open. I like that. What do I have to do to follow you? Well, you don't really have to do anything. I've done it all on the cross, but you want to see the second part of the verse? Take a look at this thing. It gets a little bit tougher. Anyone, everyone, you're invited to come follow Jesus. So what do I have to do? Not just be a select few? No. But anyone? Yep. Anyone in this entire planet has the invitation to come follow Jesus. But what would we do? And this is the part we don't like. But can I ask you a question? James, a half-brother of Jesus, wrote a book, and he says, if you have faith without works, that faith is what?
Yeah.
Let me get that right. Say it louder. Faith without works is?
Yeah.
So faith must have to have some action. Now, I don't have to prove that I'm saved, but on the same end, it should just be a natural outflow, right? I would think that. And that's what we sort of don't like that. Well, you can't tell if I'm saved. The world says this sometimes. Don't you? Don't you judge me. And we just robbed a bank, cussed you, wife out, and raped and maimed and killed 14 people and sat on the other. Don't you judge me. Wow. The Bible says that we actually, as believers, I have the right to judge. Really? What does that say? Matthew chapter 7, see if we leave that part in. It says, as believers, I am a fruit inspector. Fruits are good works. Jesus went by one time the fig tree. You're reading about this, and he looked, and he was hungry. Imagine Jesus being hungry. Yeah, he's like us. And he wanted to take some figs, and the tree didn't have any. What did Jesus do?
Yep.
It's withered now.
Yep.
Is that just like a mini lesson there? Mm-hmm. That would be sort of like, hey, let me see the fruit. You don't have any. Is he going to zap me like a tree? He's not very well pleased with me. Edgar, I say, the only reason I'm leaving you here, I'm paraphrasing, but I don't think Jesus would not. He said, the only reason he leaves any of us here is to be a witness. Or else he could just do what? Take me on home. I'm saved. Good. Got that one. But if he saves me to be a witness, and I don't witness, or I don't read, or I don't pray, or I don't do any of the things, he says, they're the two things. You're really not helping the public. Yeah. Pretend for a second, so we got jerseys on. And let's just say I won somebody over from the Baltimore Ravens to having a jersey for Broncos. Anyway, now if I and say, Chris, guess what? You're a member of the Broncos now. Well, can I continue to wear this? Why would you want to? Well, because I don't want to forget where it came from. Can I ask you a quick question? You raise your hand. Do you want to forget where some of y'all came from?
Yeah, I do.
Don't you dare share what I used to do in high school. You told him I was going to be a teacher. They had a fellow. You told him I was going to be a preacher. We were both fellows. I wasn't preaching material in high school. I don't know if I still ain't. God just says, you know about what they did. I'm just going to let you be one step in front of them. Okay, deal. I never baptized. Okay. I never married anybody. I never, I'm going to do this. Put off and God excuses. He wants to see free. But he says, okay. Start doing it. Okay. What do I do to get that through? Well, here's what I got to do. I'm carrying the box of me around, and I've got a here comes Jesus. He says, would you hold my box? Jesus, I've got to set me down to pick you up. You do, don't you? Oh, that's what you plan. Sure, let me set down the old lifestyle, and I pick up Jesus and carry him around. In order to do that, I've got to do something with me, and that's what I get to do. Again. Second part, I got to deny myself. Take up his cross daily and follow him. Jesus says, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Check these couple words out right here that are very key. Know that we are first to first deny ourselves. Would you find it easy to sit in the bed today, lay in the bed and go to sleep today, rainy day? Yeah. No, I'm going to deny myself. Got one piece of cake left. Jesus, you take it. No. I can't eat that cake if you don't have it. I got one life, Jesus. You take it. I can't keep my life because you gave me your word. Now you're starting to understand. I'm about to choose sometimes. But I will read, I'll pray, I'll hear a song, and something will just hit me. And it's like God just plucks your kind of glory to shine through me. It's like you've walked in. What was that closest place in the temple that nobody got to go to until Jesus tore the curtain into it? It's called the Holy of Holies. He just lets you step in there. He just lets you sense his presence. But you only get to do that if you deny yourself. So I got to deny myself daily. I don't think, now what do I, God, what do you want to do with me today? And when you think of that, he might include you and sprinkle you through the day. But let's look at him. Can you imagine getting up and saying, okay, I got this little pocket testament. I got one of my bag over. Who can I give this to today at Salem Hospital? Who can I give this to at Sheets? Who can I give this to at the credit union? Because I got to go to that place. So Jesus says in Luke 19:10, I came to seek and to save those who are what? Lost. I need you to give that book to a lost person. Can you show me that lost person? I'll give it to them. And now, in order to do that, I can't say, what will they think of me? I don't care. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up his cross, really his most important thing. And how do I have to do that? Sort of like getting married, right? I do. Took care of that. Didn't have to do anything else with my wife. I said, I do. It's like the wife looked at the husband one time. She says, I never hear you say I love you. He said, did I tell you I love you on our wedding day? Well, yeah. Well, if that ever changes, I'll let you know. That's crazy. Or what could you do if you walk in from work and... I get convicted. You know, I walk in from work and I think, let me do this. And he's like, how'd you do? I can get convicted. I remember Tim the Tool Man. Anybody remember that? Tim the Tool Man would come in. It's a Hollywood show. He'd come in, hang up his jacket, and go over and kiss Jill. And then, hey, boys, how you doing? I think if Tim the Tool Man can do it, I can do it. So I need to come in and sit down a bag, and before I do anything else, give you any hug or kiss. Unless you never doubt for 1 second. And all right. Well, I do. Tell her anyway. I don't know if there's anyone, would you please quit telling me you love me all the time? I'm just so tired of it. I've never heard a woman want to say that. I've never. Please, kids, quit praising your dad. It's okay. I know I'm wonderful. You never get tired of compliments. I'm going to do that daily. Yeah. You see what you've been doing at church and you just get bored? It's like, oh, just again, say the old expression. It's like, Lord, I feel so close to you. And then Monday, I'm okay. Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm Come to Bible study. We'll back up again. Thursday and Friday. Come to church. And really, that's what you do. You just stay close to Jesus. It's sort of like just knocking the rust off, knocking the dust off every minute. And if you do it daily, you tend to stay closer to Him. So I get to follow anything else. We're to deny ourselves, take up His cross, and do this daily. So while it's true we don't work for our salvation, we are called to action after we get saved. So what do we need to do? We need to deny ourselves, take up His cross, and follow Him. This too. Consider this. Three key words that call us to action are, here we go, deny, take up, and follow. Say that with me.
Deny, take up, follow.
Deny, take up, follow. If I'm a lineman pulling out to here, and I get the block from my running back, and I might get hurt. You gotta protect that little guy behind me. Usually linemen are somewhat bigger than backs. I got to deny what I want to do. I got to take up the calls, my job, and I tell that line, you follow me. That actually makes sense. And so I got to deny what I want to do. I might want to do this or that, and God says, take up my call. You sound faithful and follow me. Okay. Next thought for you right here. To call someone a Christian simply because he does some Christian-y things is giving false comfort to the unsaved, says Francis Chan. That got real crazy love. Let me put this in just simple language. If you call yourself a Christian and there's really no fruit, lost people suddenly say, well, then I'm not so bad because you claim to be a Christian, do what I do. And they suddenly say, I guess I'm going to heaven too. You said you are because you do some Christian-y things. You got a Bible. Don't know where it is, but anyway, you got one. You go to church every Easter or Christmas, Creasters, and you sort of pray like it's you ever prayer for a ball game? I'm not saying you need to have the Bible. Of course, I don't know what you do anymore, but when I grew up, if they ever had prayer for a football game, was it from the heart or was it what? Read. What do you think? Oh God. Mm-hmm. Oh God. I didn't know if he was talking to God or, you know, he could just rustle in the paper. Mm-hmm. Oh God, help us. Help us. Please, let me read it. If you're going to read it, it's like, you could tell, was this his? No. He was doing something Christian, though. He was saying prayer. And it didn't mean anything. Don't be just Christian. Be Christian. Don't give false comfort to the unsaved. Like, you're not so bad, because I'm a Christian. I'm not all right with you. Something else to make us think. Check this next thing out. It's faith in action is what we are. Let me give you faith in action. What in the world was this guy doing? Where's he at? It's Niagara Falls. He's pushing a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls. What's his name? Here's his name. The incomparable, incomparable, Blunden, crossed the perilous gorge at Niagara Falls, pushing a wheelbarrow. As the story goes, Blunden went out there and tightrope to cross. I think he went from like 279 feet down to 185 up to 279, something like this. He climbed. He walked across it on a 3-inch wire. He walked across, and then he came back having a big pole, and then he came back doing a few other things, and finally, he pushed a wheelbarrow across there. And somebody from the crowd said, that looks really good. Matter of fact, you could probably push that wheelbarrow across with someone in it. And Blunden turned and said, you really think I can do that? He said, absolutely. Then guess what? Then you get in the wheelbarrow. And he went, oh, well, that's okay. And he suddenly reneged on his. But if you really thought I could do it, Charles Blunden was a world-renowned tightrope artist and acrobat. On June 30th, 1859, for a stunned crowd of 100,000 excited onlookers. By the way, they paid big-time money to see this. Look, a quarter to watch a man die. Blunden was the first person to cross Niagara Falls by a tightrope. He crossed 1,100 feet on a single 3-inch hemp cord, strung from 160 to 270. above the falls of the other. The breathless assembly watched him accomplish step by slow step a feat most believed impossible. The land was just getting started. In the years to come, the daring entertainer crossed again and again on stilts and a sack, even pushing a wheelbarrow. The story goes that an exuberant onlooker called out, "You can cross with the man in that wheelbarrow." The land agreed and invited the man to climb in, and for some reason, the guy said, "No." He declined. Now, if you really, really, really thought I could do something, what's the best way to prove to me you think I can do it? Back it up with what?
Action.
Not words. The man says, "I believe you can do that from my heart. You got up, you climbed from the wheelbarrow, that's what we'll say." But instead, Greg Rochelle that writes in The Christian Atheist says this. He was a little bit like that guy in the wheelbarrow. My dysfunctional relationship with God was often like it. I always believed in God, just not enough to trust him with my whole life in his wheelbarrow. I knew God could fulfill his promises, but I was never sure he'd do it for me. My selfish Christian atheist view was that God existed for me rather than what? After him. If he'd do what I thought he should, I'd trust him more. If he'd come through for me, I'd give him more of my life. Does anybody ever know where he came? If he'll just save my grandpa, if he'll just heal this person with cancer, if he'll just do that, then God says, "I'm gonna be kind to you." But you know what would it feel like saying? I mean, do your kids come up and say, "Mom, if you do this, then I'll behave and be nice, you know? If you don't, I don't remember making deals with my mom." You know, "Mom, if you act like a pretty good person, I'll try to behave myself." My daddy would say, "I'm going to wear your tail out." And you can't remember what I'm telling you. Can't we just talk about it? Episode of Andy Griffith's like that. He's sitting there at the table when his daddy says, "You do this." It's like, can we just talk about it? He says, "Excuse me? Can we just talk about it? Can we just go over this?" He says, "You get there and clean your room right up there. I'm going to heat you up, you know, heat the bottom up." It's like, "Yes, sir." And I think we do that to God. Greg Rochelle says this, to further his story. If he made my life better and pain-free, I'd believe him more passionately. But anytime God didn't meet my expectations, we had a problem. God created me in his image. I returned the favor and created him in mine. The kind of God I wanted to believe in was this. If he's not what I want, then he can't have my whole life. So, God, here's what I picture you being, and this is it. That's a lot of what the world does right now. God, you're all loving. You'll never send anyone to hell. I got news for you. First of all, God doesn't send you to hell. You choose to go there. Well, God, you wouldn't make a place like hell. I got news for you again. Yeah, hell's real hot. Mm-hmm. So quit. I want a God that this is me. This is perfect. I guarantee you, if Jenny said, "I want to marry someone that looks like Tom Selleck," well, she did. No, I didn't. No, if Jenny says, "I want somebody that looks this way and looks that way," moms, you would probably tell your daughter this. If your daughter says, "I want this and I want that," now, you'd probably say, "Sit down with me, honey, just a second." Yeah. The person you're looking for doesn't exist. Because he's great looking, he's got tons of money, he does everything just right, he's just... Honey, that's not lying. Your husband will be mean and ugly sometimes to you, he'll be rude, he'll be late, but he's going to be loving to you, and he's just going to have his faults. So you got to understand that. Well, if he's not this, then I won't. We do that to God. God, as long as you answer every prayer according to my will, then I'm going to follow you. I got news for you. I'm God. There's a book in the Old Testament that basically says that to God. It says, "God, if you do this, and how come you do that? And how come you took my family? And how come this? And how come I got some boils on them? And how come I got to scrape them with broken pottery to get relief? And how come this, God?" Who was that man?
Yeah.
Job. And along with about four chapters to go in the book, Job, and God says, "Are you through?" "Were you there when I hung Pleiades out there, the star? Were you there when I put the Milky Ways recently? Were you there when I breathed life into a man? Were you there?" And I don't know what time he's talking, Joe probably was like, "Were you there when I created everything from nothing? Were you? the bottom line, do you have a right to what? I'll just accept you and whatever you do. And you're quit trying to pretend like you're the God I got to make up. I've just got to believe if you are the God you are, and that's all I need. Next thought is this. Following Christ isn't just something I do on weekends. You know, every Sunday church, it isn't a hobby, it isn't a recreation, it isn't part of me, it's all of me. It burns within me, shining brightly so that all can see where my loyalty lies. Because without him, I'm nothing. You got to get to that piece of it, desperation. When my daddy had a heart attack one time at Giles, they said, there's 11% who won't live. I don't know how they're right with that. 11%. And I prayed. And I said, Lord, I need some prayer time with you. And they put me in the post office so Mom could go with him. And I went up in the post office. And I started praying so hard I'd written up here. What, in my mind, right there at that point, what did I talk about for me? Nothing. What did I say? I wonder if the oil changed in the car. I never thought about it. I was just pouring it out. God, you got to do it. You got to get him. I can picture him now. And I pictured in my mind, taking him from the hospital, putting him in the ambulance. I got it. Why didn't he fly in the helicopter? It's too foggy that day. Helicopter rides $2,000 from Jai Hospital. So this is too foggy. Put him in the ambulance. He'll never make it. He made it. Well, he's probably going to die once he gets up here. He didn't. And then when he went in after two, and I just kept praying like it. And after just about 2 or 3 days turned into a week's time, I was just so concentrated. By the way, that day in the post office, we're small time in Giles. We're not huge. Appreciate it. And, you know, vouch for that. Well, but I just, even then, you'll have people come to the post office. And I said, God, I need some prayer time with you so that I can just pour out my heart and ask for help from my dad. And as I recall that day, nobody came into the post office. Nobody, not all of us. It's so snowy that the mail lady said, I can't get up on the creek. And God gave me about 7 hours to set the thing. Doesn't God know that? Let's see how much you can do. How hard can you pray? And me and God just had a good meeting. And I'm glad to say I've had more prayers than just that in my life. But I just want to empty yourself. Sometimes just pray with nothing. Adoration. Lord God, you are so good. You're wonderful. You're forgiving. You're kind. You're gracious. And just, boom. For the next few moments, I'll be praying about him. That's what he loves to hear from this year. Next, consider this. It means we must make a clear choice to cross a line for Christ. What lines do we cross? You know, leave our old lifestyle, be willing to follow Christ in the new lifestyle. He's going to get rid of some stuff in our life. Letting this choice or decision to follow Christ may cost us some things. Can it cost us friends? Sure, habits. How can you not like it used to do? I've actually had friends in college tell me, I like the old way. Yes, you would. So it's saying, you're not going to do this anymore? Nope. Well, won't you just do what's comfortable to you? How comfortable is Calvary? Might cost you. We're just not going to. I've actually been in some places that didn't change grades for administration or anything. I'm no longer working at those places. Bottom line, change this. And the next year they didn't find a reason to bring me back. I don't regret that. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Look here. You're going to change it right there. Yeah. Well, we'll see about. You can probably sue for that. I don't know if they're running anyway. Would you lie for me? Nope. Can you cost me? Yep. Keep going with me on this old lifestyle, new lifestyle change. What else do we get to do? We need to intensely decide to cross some lines to go spiritually. There are no shortcuts. What line do we cross? Well, here we go. Three lines we need to progress to cross include this one. We need to believe and receive Christ into our lives. Believe in Him is enough, right? Well, if you think that, consider this verse. From James. We need to be willing to give because we believe. Next, we need to finally be willing to sacrifice. So we believe and receive in Christ. We give Him something, but we're finally going to sacrifice. Consider this again, believe and receive. This is really to acknowledge God. give me the most famous prayer you've ever heard in your life. It's called the Lord's Prayer. What's the first line? Our Father, you acknowledge you. Our Father, who art in heaven. Can I put that in everyday language? God, I know you live in heaven. Your name is holy. You haven't got past the first line of your worship. I acknowledge you as supreme God. You are the God. You're the only God. And I accept you into my life. See, that's really salvation right there. You don't just say, I know there's a God. Is that enough? Again, let me tell you the verse from James that says this. James 2:19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Demons in hell believe and tremble. It's not for you. If you forget everything else, I'll tell you today, this is such a good one. You ready for this? Pretty good. There are no atheists in hell. Why? Everybody believes in God. You're in hell now. Mm-hmm. How about the demon? Oh, Son of God, please don't hurt us before it's time, because we know you're going to hurt us in the end. We know you're going to send us to a place called hell. They got more faith than some of the people I know. They believe in Jesus Christ. They know that there's a coming punishment. They know there's a place called hell. That's got half the people I know be. Demons are not atheists. They believe in God. So tell that to the most famous atheist in the world. Crazy. I just couldn't get over that. Here is. Anything? Not Allison McGrath. What the? Richard Dawkins, leading atheist in the world, and a demon. Demon's got more faith. Okay. Let's go back to that. So you got to believe and receive. We need to be willing to give because we believe. So Opie on Antigrip's always getting an allowance. Now, how much is that allowance to Opie sometimes? Mm-hmm. He said, take out the trash. I'll get you a few pennies. A few pennies, or maybe a nickel or a quarter. Anybody ever get an allowance on that? Anybody ever have, there's your $100, Bridget. You go right. Yeah, right. Who are you? Where's my dang it? You know, you wouldn't have. What's an allowance? It's small. So that's what we're willing to give. God, you take this. Wow. You want to receive for that? You might not bring it to you, but it's like, wow. I want you to give out of the abundance of your heart. Well, give me a verse for giving out of meager means. Does anybody remember this story? Luke 21:1-4. He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting into my. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all a lot of what she had. She didn't have anything that she gave it to me. That just cut people off. What is it if a millionaire gives me $1,000? I sometimes wonder about the pro players that make, you know, it's just $1 million, you're gonna find $500 from them late practice. What's $500 to a millionaire? Wow. Okay. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. 2 months. I think those together sort of like the smallest Roman coin that they could find. So in our language and our culture, they need kings. And we need to finally be willing to sacrifice because of what we believe in, who we believe in. Abandon in action. We take off. I really wonder if we take a hill, if we're a soldier, you just sort of go with reckless abandon. You just got to say, we got to do this. And it's prompted us to action. So abandon and action. And look at the progression. Are you right here? Well, I acknowledge Jesus and I've accepted him as my Savior, but I don't really feel like giving too much right now. I still basically do what I want to, and I read the Bible maybe once a month. Wow. Let's give you more than that. But you will, you'll mature. When we slide into this, we go from there to where here is like, you know, my favorite TV show is coming on, NCIS, and I really love that, but I am not going to watch it tonight. Instead, I'm going to read God's Word. All the angels in heaven. Oh, you're going to sacrifice what you would rather be doing and give it to God?
Yeah.
That's easy to watch. What we believe in, what we believe. What we believe in is this. King David wanted to worship God. And the person he's speaking to said, just had a threshing floor. I'll give it to you. You're the king. But the king replied to Aruna, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver. He said, I don't want to do that cost. We need to be willing to intentionally cross the line of sacrifice, not this one, that's the idea of the life. So we've got to abandon and have action. So we come up with this verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The Old Testament, they'd offer animals and they'd die and it was over and that paid for sins. But Christ says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. So imagine this in the morning at your house, an altar, and you just sort of go and place yourself on the altar and say, God, I'm yours. I'm a living sacrifice. And then after that, I want to be holy and acceptable to God, which is that's the least I can do in my reasonable service. I'm a living sacrifice. I'm living. I've sacrificed to God, and I'm living. That's a cool picture right there out of Romans 12. Okay, a living sacrifice. I'll tell Andy that verse in Awana sometimes. I made it into a rap. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least I can do. So a living sacrifice. And next day, you do the same thing again. We just have a living right there. In the Old Testament, animal sacrifice. Okay, let's... The Holy Word of God, the Bible, I trust it, I believe it, I obey it. There's no alternative to it, and it gives us that verse again. So as we wrap up today, then what should I do with all these things that are going around in my mind? What do we do? Let's check out this again. When you believe Christ and trust Him, this happens at salvation. And that's where some of you are. Some of you have grown a little bit more and you say, you know what, I want to give. And then the more you mature in your faith, you don't have to raise your hand. But did you notice when you cross from this, some of you have done that in your life, that you no longer say, let me make sure I do this or that. Now, you'll do it for the people you love and your family. When you start doing it for everybody, when I get something on my hand, hey, Jenny probably like it. Hey, Annie and Angie like it. I could do it. Maybe I could get this for them. See, I sort of, and I'm not patting me on the back, but see, I just think that. See, there's one person in the world I call my son. He's sitting over there. I'd sacrifice him. I went to a Giles football game before and looked up at the top and I said, listen, we can get you a seat right up here. I said, how many seats you got? Got one. I said, Andy, go. No. You go. I got him a seat. I'll worry about myself later. Has anybody ever done that for people you love? Tell it to them.
Yeah, you will.
Well, God did that for you. And you go first. Jesus, no. And you go. Okay. The ultimate sacrifice. Well, He wants us to become just like Him. Start sacrificing. For this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in the steps of Him. Just like Jesus first gave you from you. What did He all do for me? Next. Well, let me show you what He did for me. I hate this. Every once in a while you need to look at it to be reminded of what He does. This is the soldier that would die. Oh my goodness, this is the soldier that would come and get you off that field. This is the person who stepped in front of the bullet for you. Leaving no thought to himself, leaving no thought for his well-being. Did you need to die for him? You did. The ultimate sacrifice occurred on the cross. And I think of these words that just jumped to your mind. Comfort? How comfortable is it? What was the call? Why did he do it? Because he loved it. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Someone had to die for your sins. And Jesus says, I will do it. I don't understand why someone had to die. Old Testament law, somebody had to die. But Jesus fulfilled that law on the cross. He said, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. I am the living sacrifice. I died to pay for your sin. They are paid for. All you got to do is believe and receive. Comfortable? I don't think so. Cost? Cost him his life. Cause? Because he loves you. So now's our choice. Do I have to die on the cross? You got to die daily and take up your cross. I'm not asking you to give your life. I'm asking you to live your life. Tortured for us. So we trust in him. So here's what we get to do then. If we're going to follow Jesus, we must give up our life and take up that cross every morning as we roll out of bed. And do it with this in mind. Today, take up your cross. And it's not grudge at all. I carry that cross now. Thank you, Jesus, for me. There was a nice man, some of Serena, that Jesus was walking to Calvary, and one gospel records Jesus slipped and fell. It says they got this guy and made him carry the cross. How would you have liked to have been the guy to carry the cross? Would you have done that? Jesus, let me get that. No, I don't want your cross. They'll kill you like they did me. I don't care. Pick it up. I would count a joy. Joseph from Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body down, and Nicodemus finally had to say, I'm not a Pharisee like I used to. I'm a believer. And Joseph on the bed said, can we have the body? And they took the body down. How would you like to have been the first person to took the body down from the cross? I don't think I would have made it. I would have just said that. Why did they do this to me? And I had a tender mom. She's in heaven now. But I mean, she used to stroke it. That's when I had hair. Black jet hair. Jet black hair. She'd go like this. You okay? I'd probably look at you and just say, what have you done to me? He showed up that 3 days later and walked through, showed people the nail print. He made it all worthwhile. Well, he's coming back again. It's time to save the world through the judge. I want us to make sure we know him. Okay, what can I do for him today? Here's one thing. We can pray. Ask him to help us cross the line. Today, in the last few minutes, I want us to take communion. Just be a few minutes. But I want us to start a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we're going to do something that you've asked us to do long ago. You said, just do in remembrance of me. You never want us to forget that cross, and you never want us to forget the punishment you endured. So, Jesus, I thank you today that we can symbolize your body that was broken for us. We can symbolize the blood that was spilled and the juice that we take. And Jesus, may this be a quiet, reflective time of what all you've done for us. Lord, you're going to speak to hearts even right now. And I ask you to do that. And then we respond accordingly. Lord, what are you calling us to? What line are we cross? Are we to accept you as our Savior today, finally, or are we finally going to step over the next line and start giving? Or are we going to say, Jesus, you paid it all. Let me be more like you. Take up my cross today and let the world know that I'm here. Jesus, help us to continue to be the areas of our life we need to be blessed. Us. We are all in Jesus' name.
The Bible says on the night he was betrayed that he
came up with an idea. Didn't want to help you. Great idea. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. This be in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. But whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus says, what picture can I leave you with him? My body's going to be broken the next day. As we take this, we are just remembering it. I can tell you from then on, the disciples, every time they ate bread, they probably for a long time thought to Jesus. And they were remembering today. Let's thank the Lord for this prayer. There Jesus is. This plate is passed around. Maybe just surrender whatever we have that's not your way now. May it be that way. Because Jesus, you surrendered everything you had. May we pick you on the cross, paying for our sins, but the broken body. I'm thankful that body was buried and rose again 3 days later. Jesus, help us never forget the sacrifice. As you said to the disciples, this is my body. Thank you. Lord, you bless us for it. Amen. I ask you to help me. Spend a few quiet moments with you. Take your bread and you blessed it. He said, take it, give it my body. Let's do it in the name of the Lord. Took a cup and he blessed it. He wanted them to remember that the blood that he shed was all that would ever be needed to pay for sin. That's what was left in here. Dear Jesus, we humbly ask you to forgive us of all the things that are between us. Let nothing block your blood. Lord, you smile from heaven because we're remembering your death. How cruel that was to pay for sin. And I'm not so sure that some of us would have been in the crowded mocking. We are pure meat and lamb. We're not seared meat for you. But we've been out there in our own life. And then you change us one day. And so Jesus, when you step in, you do the work. And I said, I'll never, never, never be forgotten. So Lord, I ask you right now, work in the hearts. Bless the hearts. Jesus, just sense your presence. Thank you for the blood that was spilled upon us. cruel to you be trust. The Bible says you're very proud of me. Jesus, thank you that you are. And Lord, to bless us now. And to the name of the Lord, it's good for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus, I thank you that you ransomed us. The devil held us in ransom. We were like kidnapped by the king of darkness. And you came in and you paid your ransom. And that ransom was paid with your life. I thank you that we've been ransomed and set free. But when we finally come to the point that there's absolutely nothing, one thing that we can ever do to be yours, that's where you want us to be. Well, then we'll realize it's totally by grace that you give us the salvation of children. Thanks for loving us more than we'll ever know. Thanks for giving your blood to us still. Simple act of sacrifice, Lord, we pray we'll never give it. Thank you, Lord, for paying a price for us with your life in Jesus. Taking the cup, he blessed it. He said, drink. This is my blood. And then we're going to have a new covenant where we'll be around the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. And be what a day it is. So then maybe we remember him to drink this. Lord Jesus, I'm glad I can claim your mom. I'm glad you came in. Why would you want us with such wretched sinners that we are? And then you take us and forgive us, clean us, scrub us clean, and wash us white as snow. Do our sins be as scarlet? If you do the world, really, since he is crimson, he should be quite a snow. Now all you ask is for us to get there for you. And your grace will do that. We help us to boldly pick up the cross and carry it tomorrow. And let the world know what's up here that loves us. And loves him good. Thank you, Lord, for the time of worship.
Thank you, everybody here. Thanks for my brothers and sisters and you. And everybody working on it. Meet together. In Jesus' name.